Today, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11, it says this: "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, that's a little different translation here in NIV. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Now, I would ask you, do you have hope for the future this morning? Amen. And where's your hope at for the future? Because let me tell you, we see things going on in the world today, and I see people in this world that we live in that exist with no hope in their life. Amen. They have no hope in their life. And then they don't even know what the future looks like. But man, I'm telling you, just as I described a while ago, what heaven's going to be like, none of us can comprehend that right now. What it's going to be like, I don't know. I just know I have a future. I know it's going to be with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where my future is going to be. Why? Because he tells, he promise, makes these promise. I know my plans for you. I have plans for you. My plans are not to destroy you. I don't want to tear you up with all these rules. I don't want to tear you up with all these regulations. Because I love you. So I ask you this: do you trust God's purpose and plan in your life? Do you trust it? Do you trust God's plan and purpose for you? Do you trust God's plan and purpose for this church? Because you know what? He's not only got a purpose for you in your life, he's got a purpose for this church and every church. We kind of know what that purpose is. Is that just evident in how you live your daily life, though? Is it evident that you trust God? Is your life more aligned and influenced with the things of the world than it is with God's plan and purpose for your life? That's a question. Is it obvious to people all around you that you care more about following God's plan and purpose for you than you do the world's purposes? It's something more than just coming to church. It's something more than just sitting in a pew or sitting in a chair. It's something more than just singing some songs. Talking about something more than just walking around with a smile on your face and occasionally saying that you go to church or know God. I'm talking about allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, to lead me, okay, into the destiny that God Himself planned for you and me. Amen? He planned it from the beginning, before the world was created, it says, in form. He had plans for the church. And he had plans for you. That's hard for us to understand because following God's plan and purpose is not always easy. Because not following God's plan seems to be a lot easier, right? Seems to be sometimes for a lot of people is a lot more fun, right? Following God's plan, it requires a commitment. And some of us don't like commitment because with commitment comes responsibilities. And responsibilities means we commit, we have commitment. It goes back and forth, doesn't it? We're committed to God, we're committed to the church. I think Many of us have felt an urgency at times to want to grow the church, to want to grow our spiritual lives, right? We want to, there's times that we go through these phases in our life where we read the Bible more, right? Or we get a study book and we go through, and then all of a sudden we find ourselves, we get busy or overwhelmed with things in life. And next thing you know, we're not studying, we're not reading. And we go through these ups and downs in our life. But I think we've all felt the urgency to bring others into the family of God. Wouldn't you like to see some of your friends get saved that don't know Christ? Amen? We feel that way? The problem we have a lot in the modern church is there's too many people who have become content just keeping a seat warm on Sunday morning. I'm sorry if that hurt. You know, we need to be active in seeking and saving the lost. Why do I say that? Because that's the commitment that we made to this church. And that's the commitment we made to Christ. Amen? Am I wrong?
Amen.
Isn't that what the Bible tells me, right, when I read it? Now, I could overlook it. I don't like that page. I like this page because it says we love everybody. Turn the next page. That talks about something I don't like. So I turn that page. Oh, wait a second. Let me find John. Let me read John. Oh, wait. Which part of John do we read and like and the other parts we don't? What about Romans? What part of Romans do you read and like and what parts do you kind of skip over? Huh? I'm just asking you. You don't have to stand up and tell me. But you know, we're all guilty of doing that. We're called to be the salt and light in this world. We're supposed to put a good taste in people's mouth. You ever had mashed potatoes with no salt? Pretty hard to choke down sometimes, isn't it? I know some of you, like me, I was on a no-salt diet for a while. Let me tell you, that food was hard to choke down. Man, I couldn't wait to get some salt, some seasoning on there, you know? But that's what the church is supposed to be to this world. A good taste in people's mouth, not a bad taste. Sometimes we look for what the church can do for us rather than what we are called to do for the church. That's called a consumer mind, because we live in a consumerized world. We like to get, we like things that we like what church offers. I've heard people say this. Well, that church didn't offer me anything. I've actually heard people say that. Tell me that straight out. That church didn't have anything to offer me. Well, what about Jesus? Did they offer you Jesus? Because if they offered you Jesus, that's all you need.
Amen.
You don't need anything. You don't need big programs. You don't need all those big things. All you need is Jesus. Almost got excited over that one. Got goosebumps. You know, the Great Command, we know, you guys know that the Great Commission, Matthew 28, man, it's a pretty important one, isn't it? We know that, go into all the world, you know. We know that, make disciples, baptize. We know all that stuff, right? But are we really doing it? Not only as an individual, are you doing it as an individual? Are you doing it as a church? Are we doing that? Are we going and making disciples? I know our global church of the Nazarene, man, they're active. They're on boots on the ground. They're going everywhere They can anywhere they can, and even places they're not supposed to be. They're boots on the ground making disciples. And our global church says, hey, your local churches need to do the same thing. We got missionary programs. We got all these things put in place in our church to what? Go into the world around us and make disciples. Amen. We can't do that without the people in the church, because it ain't the building. The building's not going to go into the world and make disciples. I've never seen a building go into the world and make disciples. I've seen a building attract people because it was big and beautiful and had, and it'll draw people sometimes, but the building just doesn't really do anything. But it houses people who love God. Okay? You tell people about how the Father loves you, how God loves you. You share the love of Jesus with others. Are you teaching others what it is to be a follower of Christ? Not only just telling them, but showing them. What kind of picture does your life paint for the people who should be trying to lead, or that you should be trying to lead Jesus to Christ? People see that in you. Are you proclaiming by the way you live, the way you speak, the way you act, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Amen.
Amen.
When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? I'm asking a bunch of questions this morning because I want you to leave here thinking about this. I'm not bringing judgment on anybody. It is not for me to judge. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? Following Jesus has a lot of responsibilities, doesn't it? There again, because of the commitment that we made. We made a commitment to the church. We made a commitment to Christ. And when we follow Jesus, that commitment comes with responsibilities. Responsibilities are to share the gospel. Paul said, faith without works is dead. It's not about just doing it. But we're committed to Christ out of love, right? God uses each and every one of us. He uses you to make a difference in this world. He uses all of us to make a difference in this world. One thing I've learned is people still need to be saved today. Amen. People still need to be saved. And they will be until Jesus comes back. People will need to hear the gospel. The Great Commission didn't stop. People still need to be saved. People still need to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And today, God has called us to reach those people. You hear me? Romans 10, chapter 11, or Romans chapter 10, verse 11 and 15 says this, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Amen. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know that? Everyone. But how can they call upon the name of the Lord if they've never heard the gospel? And Jesus says, I want you to share the gospel with them. But the harsh reality of that is, if everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's a great thing. But what about the people who never call upon the name of the Lord? What are they? Where does that put them? How can they hear it unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go tell them without being sent? Jesus says, I'm sending you. That's why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messenger who bring the good news. Amen. How beautiful. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a quote from Joel chapter 2, verse 32. What does that really mean? What does to call upon the name of the Lord really mean? It means repenting from your sins and turning to Jesus. Committing yourself to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, how important is the Holy Spirit in your life? The painful thing, though, as I talked about, if everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, the opposite of that statement is also true. Everyone who does not call upon the name of the Lord will not be saved. And that's what we're facing. It doesn't matter. There's no respecter of that. It could be your family member. It could be your spouse. God has put us here to lead by example. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to me except through what? No one comes to the Father except through me. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Without Christ, there's no hope, as I started off with, right? I have hope. I do. In Christ, there is hope, and there's the promised assurance of salvation to all who turn to Jesus. There are those who don't call upon the name of the Lord. But are we willing to do more? To bring the gospel to those. Are we willing to do more than just occupy a seat? And I know this, that Jesus didn't die so we could feel good on Sunday. Amen. I like to feel good on Sunday, though. There's nothing wrong with that. But I rejoice in my Savior. I rejoice when I see the church worship. When I see people who are in love with Jesus. Like a bride and a groom love each other. Hear me? Church, do you love Jesus? Do you love him more than anything else in this world? Remember the old song, I'd rather have Jesus. More than silver or gold, I'd rather have Jesus. Than riches untold, I'd rather have Jesus. Man. I think the writer of that understood that. Right? I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world could bear. He died to set the captive free. He died to bring salvation. He died to bring healing and wholeness and restoration to a fallen, sin-sick world. Jesus has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's why it's so important that we tell people about Him. That's so important. But you know what? We can't do that in our own strength. We have to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And He promised the power of the Holy Spirit to those who believe in Him. God promised a day would come when His people would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember the woman at the well? What did He tell her? Yeah? She couldn't go to the synagogue because she was a Samaritan. She couldn't go to the synagogue because she was a woman. She couldn't go to the synagogue because she was been married to five different guys and living with the one she was with. Jesus told all about her, told her whole story right in front of her. And she's like, wow, how do you know that? You know, and he said, well, guess who I am? You know, she's like amazed by it. And then he tells her, he said, guess what? He said, one day you won't have to go to the synagogue to worship me. You'll be able to worship me in spirit. And then he said, that spirit will go with you everywhere. And then she was changed, right? She goes back and tells everybody. What did she do? She told everybody, right? Revival happened in Samaria, didn't it? I met a guy that told me everything I had done. And it changed my life. You want to know everything about yourself? Ask him. He'll tell you real quick. You want to know what needs to be changed in your life? Don't come to me. Amen. Go to Jesus. Absolutely. And if somebody's listening, I got one affirmation, right? Praise God, I get one affirmation today. I don't know that I could do it without him, without Teddy. I mean, it is. I definitely can't do it without Jesus. But God promised a day like no other day. You know, like on Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and Peter reminded the people of the promise of God. And how many people got saved? Can you imagine that revival? 3,000 people get saved all at one time. Wow, now that's an outpouring, isn't it? And then also in Joel, it says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Can you imagine that? And when God pours himself on us by his Spirit, he stirs up in us dreams and visions of people getting saved. Can you imagine that? Man, do you hunger for that? Do you have visions and dreams about people in your life to get saved? Like a young man I met at Walmart a few weeks ago. He's been on my mind. Don't know, I can't even remember the guy's name. But he's been on my mind. And a vision of him kneeling at the altar and praying has been in my mind. I really don't understand all of that, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is telling me this guy can be saved. I hope that comes to fruition one of these days, that guy kneels down and prays and gets saved before it's too late. There's going to come a day when all that called upon the name of the Lord are going to be out of here, right? And those who didn't call upon the name of the Lord are going to be left. And even some of them that went to church every Sunday will be, well, Lord, what happened? Didn't I preach? Didn't I do all these things? I don't know who you are. I love it. I'm going to get through here in a minute because we got communion today. Aren't you excited? Communion is a blessed time. So I would ask you to, if you've not committed yourself to Christ, to make that commitment today. And maybe you're struggling with some things, and maybe you weren't, maybe you've been in a complacent place in your life, but let me tell you, just turn your life back to Christ and just get back on the right track. Amen. Start sharing the gospel, because let me tell you, there's some people in here that's got some powerful stories. You got some powerful stories about what Christ did to you. He wrecked your life. I think sometimes that happens, you know. God forces you off the road. You end up down in the ditch, and then you realize you need to cry out to a Savior. And he's like, here comes Jesus, like the paramedics, you know, and they come and cut you out of the car. I can't, you know, that's what Jesus does. Fixes you. Life's too short. Amen. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Look for every opportunity to get involved and focus on sharing Jesus with everyone. Do everything you can for the Lord and take advantage of every opportunity that comes to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. Amen. The scripture says, and do it even more as you see the day approaching. I see all these things happening. We had a discussion this morning about the things going on in the Middle East right now with Israel and Iran and now the United States. And you think about all those things going on, and it just makes me think of the scripture more. I'm not saying that the end is here, but it could be. All those things are lining up just like the scriptures foretold. All of it. Will it be this generation? We'll see. It very well could be. Very well could be. Do everything you can for the Lord. Take advantage of every opportunity that comes along. May each of us be enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to share the truth of the gospel. Don't be afraid to share the gospel. I would say by a raise of hands, who's ashamed of the gospel? Nobody here. You're not going to admit it anyway, are you? That'd be a hard one, wouldn't it? But if I tell you, if I ask you, who loves Jesus? I think you'd all raise your hands, won't you?
Yeah.
You love Jesus. Yeah. There's one honest person in the audience. That's good. What man that loves his wife would be so ashamed that he wouldn't tell anybody else that he had a wife that he loved? Amen?
Hey.
Think about that. I tell everybody about Leanne. I do. I always have. I tell her that she did this. She said this and she yelled at me about that. Yeah. But I love her. Right? Almost 35 years. 35 years in September. Wow. That's right. Even the tomatoes thrown, right? I won't tell the rest of that story. All right, well, don't be afraid to share the gospel. Because let me tell you, more people will listen. And just like praying with people, I'll tell you something that happened. And I know Madison's not here, but Madison went on a mission trip here just recently. Tell you what, it was fantastic. I'll let her tell it a different time. I'm proud of my daughter for doing that. It's a big step. She was raised in missions, though. She was raised doing things when we were doing homeless ministries. She was right there. Me and Leanne watched her like a hawk. She was right there all the time, but she wasn't afraid of anybody. She'd love on anybody. But anyway, so I had to go pick her up off the bus. And so I met them in Champaign. Okay. And so I'm waiting on them up there. And so they shown up. We was at a gas station. And this police officer comes tooling in. So I walk up to his car and he opens the door and he was first like, "Whoa, what are you doing here?" And I was like, "Oh, can I help you?" And he goes, "Well, I was just checking." He said, "I didn't know if there was an accident or something like that." And I was like, "No, we just got an old church van." So anyway, Louisa came over and another pastor, John, he came, anyway, we'll call him John. Okay, I can't remember his name. Anyway, it was on a mission, and they came over, and we were talking to this police officer. And of course, Louisa, she's one of our pastors on the district at Parkview, and she's an Hispanic lady, but she is an incredible disciple maker. She's just a beautiful lady, and she goes, "Well, can we pray for you?" And so I was just having a conversation, and she comes up first thing out of her mouth, "Can we pray for you?" And the guy just looked at her and said, "Absolutely." He said, "Let me get out of my car." He got out of the car and he goes, "Can we hold hands?" And we held hands right there and prayed for that police officer. And she prayed the most beautiful prayer for this young man. And he said, "I needed that today. And I appreciated that." Amen.
Amen.
That's what it's all about right there. People are open to be prayed for. At this time, as we take communion this morning, as Carla has got it prepared for us this morning, and I want you to listen to the words of Paul, though, and they're kind of harsh in a lot of ways, but it just tells some truth here. Paul was dealing with. He was writing a letter that addresses some issues in the church over a group of church people who would come together during communion, and they would eat a meal, and then they would sit around and they would gossip and they would slander one another and they'd get drunk, and that was what communion was to them. And it was known that there was a man even in this church that was having an affair with his dad's wife, his stepmom. And they just didn't care about really what the gospel was all about. And they had all kinds of disagreements about who they were following as their teacher, whether it was Apollos or whether it was Peter or whether it was Paul. And Paul is having, I can't imagine a pastor writing this letter saying, "Paul, I need your help here with all these issues." And Paul writes this letter to the church. And matter of fact, it's not the first, it is the first letter, but he writes another letter because of some stuff going on. But they were suing each other about different things. They were just, can you imagine? Now, this was a church. Yeah, very carnal church. They had strayed from what they were taught. And Paul has to write this letter and says, "Hey, Guys, it's all about Jesus. Remember that what I taught you, it was all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about Peter. It's not about any, it's about Jesus. And you guys are, I hear that you're taking communion and you're doing this. And he writes it out and he's like, whoa, that's not the way it's supposed to be. When you take communion, you're supposed to remember what Jesus did. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27 says, so if anyone who eats this bread, this is what he writes to him. He said, so if anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. Man, those are some harsh words. But this passage calls us to examine ourselves, to come under a repentant heart and a renewed understanding of God's grace. So I would say, let us consider that this morning. Let us consider how important and how sacred it is to take communion. I think sometimes we do it just out of routine, and it lessens what it really means. When we approach the Lord's table in a way that honors Christ, it strengthens our faith and it deepens our love for Him. Because let me tell you, I owe everything to Christ. I owe everything to Christ. I don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I still don't deserve it. But even when I didn't deserve it, Christ died for me. And that's what Paul reminded the church at Corinth. Paul warns the Corinthian church. Thank you, Carla. To rise up from their improper behaviors and approach the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner.